This is an important step forward. It's really the first multilateral evidence that we've seen of an attempt to hold people accountable for the gross human rights abuses that have taken place in South Sudan since December 2013. And so we applaud the Security Council for taking this decisive action, but we think it's just the first step of a series of steps needed to construct the leverage that will be essential to create an enabling environment for a durable and lasting peace.
Now, your organization has said that the responsibility for the war in South Sudan lies in the hands of the high-level officials who are responsible for negotiating. For example, President Salva Kiir, former Vice President Riek Machar. Did you want or do you want for these people to be accountable to, say, sanctions on them?
We believe that it is exactly true that those who bear the greatest responsibility for obstructing the peace and intransigence are the men who are sitting at the negotiating table. As far as sanctions, we really believe that it's important to follow the process. And so if evidence is available to show that individuals, however high they are up the chain of command in South Sudan, whoever they are, if individuals are responsible for violations that merit sanctions, then yes, they should be listed and named. Because until now, only the people of South Sudan are facing the grave consequences of this war, while the elite remain relatively insulated in this climate of impunity that's existed since 2013.
Now, these sanctions are coming at a time that it appears that Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta is making some headway by reuniting the Sudan People's Liberation Movement. I think this week there was some movement on that. There are those who say, particularly people from South Sudan, the officials say that sanctions will make things worse. Do not help to bring about peace?
Sanctions in this case are an incredibly useful tool to push people to make important concessions at the negotiating table. And what we saw this week with the engagement between the former members of the SPLM and the current ruling elite of the SPLM was, again, more intransigence. Although they met for 5 hours at the same time, opposition forces were attempting to take control of the Paloch oil field and did, in fact, take control of Malakal. And so people seem to still be committed to a military solution, even though that is not the way that a durable and lasting peace will come to South Sudan. Our view is that targeted asset freezes and travel bans could help to make those who are fanning the flames of war feel a cost of some of that war.